I find myself wondering about the shepherds this year. Why were they the ones to get the sound and light show? The Christmas story is so familiar to us, we forget sometimes the utter strangeness of it. It's odd enough that the one we call our Savior first slept in a feeding trough. Think about how Mary and Joseph must have felt to receive visitors, complete strangers, at the end of what I'm sure was a rather trying day. And not just any visitors. These weren't excited relatives come to meet their newest family member, or even exotic foreigners bearing impractical gifts. To our knowledge, the shepherds hadn't been waiting all their lives for the Messiah, like old Simeon and Anna in the temple. They hadn't traveled great heroic distances like the wise men. If anyone was going to get the concert of a lifetime from the whole company of heaven, you'd think it would be Mary and Joseph, the ones actually tasked with raising Christ the Lord. But no. On the night of Jesus' birth, the angel of the Lord and a backup choir of the heavenly host show up in the middle of a field to a bunch of day players we never see again. What are we supposed to make of this? How might it be good news for us, as well as for them? There are some who say that the shepherds are on the scene to connect Jesus with his ancestor, King David, who famously started out as a shepherd himself. Well, we're already told that we're in the city of David, and that Jesus has some sort of connection to David through Joseph. We don't really need the shepherds for that. If that's their only purpose, then it seems that Luke's just laying it on a little thick. Perhaps the shepherds are here to remind us that the great ones of history can come from humble beginnings, that where we start in life does not need to determine where we end up. If King David could start out as a shepherd, who's to say what this baby might become? That sounds like good news for the politically ambitious among us, but I'm not sure yet how that's good news for all people. A rags-to-riches story doesn't quite warrant the heavenly host. It turns out there's some debate as to how shepherds were viewed in first century Palestine. What we think about their work, our assumptions about manual labor, they might say more about us than they do about them. Some scholars point out later rabbinic texts depicting shepherds as disreputable or shiftless, but others point out that we can't put that thinking back into first century minds. They remind us that some of the greatest figures of Israel's history were shepherds: Moses, Amos, the aforementioned David. What we can say with certainty is that these shepherds were working the night shift. They were about as visible to society as those who work the night shift are to us now. The truck drivers, the nurses, the security guards and cleaning crews, the checkout clerks who helped to make our daylight life possible. They were the kinds of employees who don't get the holidays off, who have to show up no matter what the weather's like, whose words and actions will likely never make the papers. And yet, the biggest headline of the last 2,000 years was first announced to them. It's as if Luke has a hard time believing it himself. Three times in four verses, we're reminded of what the shepherds were told, the message they were entrusted with. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good new tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Perhaps the shepherds weren't wrong then to choke a little every time Caesar was called Savior. Maybe they weren't wrong to think that the Pax Romana, legislated by government and enforced by violence, maybe wasn't the peace that God Almighty had in mind. So what kind of peace is envisioned here? We hear the angels singing about peace on earth, goodwill toward men through the birth of this child. Or as more technically accurate, but let's face it, clumsily translated versions put it, peace among those whom he favors. It's hard to see on the surface how that's even good news. If all we're doing here is creating another exclusive guest list at the heavenly banquet, switching out one set of admission standards, one religious group, one social class for another, then I'm pretty sure we're wasting our time. You don't need to come here to find a small, narrow, stingy God. We recreate God in that image all the time. Maybe the good news here is the reframing of what it means to be loved and favored by God, what it means to be seen and upheld as valuable. Our culture says that being blessed by God means having money and influence. It means hosting wide circles of family and friends at your dinner table. It means being as close to the halls of power as possible. Yet the place where heaven comes to earth in this most sacred of moments is not in the royal palace or the centers of government. It's not in the temple where religious leaders have positioned themselves to be first in line for God's favor. God reveals joy and peace as the heartbeat of the universe to a group of guys who weren't even waiting for anything in particular, who were fearful before they were curious or bold, whose greatest accomplishment to date was simply showing up to work. What does this mean for us? Well, among other things, it means that God can be revealed anywhere now. In church, out of church, as morning dawns, in the dead of night, in bread, in wine, in a feeding trough, in the face of a child, even in the face of our most despised enemy. Appearances, no matter how convincing, they don't mean a thing anymore. If the Son of God can grow inside a woman's body, if the Word of God can be born a wordless child, if God's chosen witnesses to this once in the history of the world event were the least socially powerful people you can imagine, then there is nothing and no one that God cannot make holy. Everything, everyone, everywhere can participate in the life of God now. Hear the words of the angel again. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just for the witty and charming, not just for those of us whose tables happen to be full this year, not just for those who look the part and seem convincing. This is good news for all people. We don't have to earn our way out of darkness with our cleverness and accomplishment, with our beautiful homes and intact families. The light of the world shines for all of us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.